Revelation chapter 20 paints a picture of a great crowd of those who were not redeemed, standing before a great white throne of judgment. And those before this throne all share a common destination, a lake of fire. Today, we'll see what happens to unbelievers at the last judgment, and why you need to be certain of your salvation before it's too late. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series on Running to Win is all about what happens 1 minute after you die. In this, his sixth message, Erwin Lutzer is asking, can modern man believe in hell? Answering with this portrait of the Great White Throne Judgment.
First of all, let's notice the diversity of the people who come. It says, I saw the dead, the great, and the small. I don't think that this has to do with their size physically. It has to do with their stature here on earth. It is at this judgment that the king stands shoulder to shoulder with the farmer. It is here that the storekeeper and the attorney meet. It is here that the billionaire stands right next to the pauper. The great and the small, the mighty and the weak, they all come together. They all come together. They are diverse in terms of their size. They are diverse in terms of their race. There will be a racial mix. There will be black and there will be white. There will be red and there will be yellow and any other shade in between. They all will be represented here. They are diverse in terms of the nations, in terms of the nations. There are those who come from Asia. There are those who come from Europe. There are those who come from Israel and from Morocco and from Central America and from Argentina and from the United States and from Canada and from Australia, from all over the world. All those who have died without faith in Christ, those who have not come to trust Him, Old Testament people who did not take advantage of the grace of God even before Jesus Christ came, they will be here, diverse from all the nations of the earth, rank upon rank, host upon host, multiplied millions. They are also diverse in terms of their religion. Hindus, Buddhists, Catholic, Protestants. It is here that the priest stands with the Protestant minister. It is here that the nun stands shoulder to shoulder with the Protestant missionary. What a diverse group of people coming from all over the whole world. Those who perhaps knew the truth but never received Christ as Savior. It does not matter at that moment. Your denomination, whether you will be Baptists, because they will be represented, Methodists will be represented, Presbyterians will be represented. What a diverse group will gather here. But let us now look at their common experience. Let's look at the text now. It says in the middle of verse 12, I saw them standing before the throne, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged from the things which were written in the books according to their deeds. There are at least two books here. At least two books. One has a listing of all of their deeds, and so they are judged in accordance with those deeds. There is also the book of life. And if your name was not written in the book of life, verse 15, you were cast into the lake of fire. And I take it that all those who appear at this judgment discover that their name is not written in the book of life. If their name were written in the book of life, they would not be here. But as I mentioned a moment ago, they would be at the judgment of believers, which is going to take place in heaven. What a scene comes before our eyes. They are judged according to their deeds. It says that twice so that we do not miss it. Now I need to say something about the justice of God. And those of you who struggle because you may have relatives whom you suspect did not die with personal faith in Christ, and you agonize over this text, and all of us do, it is not easy for any one of us to accept. But first of all, they are judged according to their deeds. They'll be judged on the basis of what they did with what they knew. He who knew his Lord's will but did it not shall receive one judgment. He who did not know his Lord's will be judged differently. Remember that the justice of God is going to be so delicately balanced that everything is going to be taken into account. I can assure you that hell will not be the same for everyone. There are those who are going to receive a greater judgment than others based on their response to conscience, to nature, if they didn't hear about Jesus Christ. All of these factors are going to be taken into account. Also bear in mind, as I emphasized in a previous message, that this judgment is going to be so meticulous that it will be evenly distributed. The child who was abused and therefore grew up in a context where he didn't know Christ, he will be judged, but so will his parents be, who did not teach him about God, who did not teach him about Christ, and who abused him. It is here, finally, that victims are going to get their day in court, because everything is going to be exposed. And in light of that exposition of all things, justice will finally be brought to every situation, so that throughout all of eternity we will be able to sing, "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." So let me encourage you by saying, God will deal justly. It will be meticulous, and it will be reviewed by someone who does not have to wait for the files to be brought from another state. He will not have to call attorneys. He won't have to call witnesses and try to sift through the evidence. All facts will be known and justly addressed. You know, we often speak about heaven, and of course you know that I'd rather preach about heaven, because heaven is comforting, but I want you to know today that hell is comforting too. Look at the injustices of the world. Look at what people are getting by with. Think of what they are doing, and there is no justice in this life. We try through human courts to bring justice, but how often we fail. And they're getting by. Well, in the end, the judge of all the earth will do right, and all will be called into account. All. And all the details taken into consideration. That's their common experience. They are all judged. But now I get to that which is even more difficult. Let's look at their common destination. We've seen their diversity, their common experience, their common destination. Notice what the text says in verse 15. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. That is their destination. Now let's look at verse 10, because I need to make some clarifications here, because Dante has misled us. A number of years ago, I decided to read Dante, his Inferno, discovered that along with biblical teaching, it was confused with all kinds of legends and different medieval superstitions. For example, Dante says that in hell, the demons have pitchforks and they go around tormenting people. Well, I want you to know today that in hell, Satan will torment no one. He will be the tormented. He will not be the tormentor. If Milton was right when he said that Satan rebelled because he would rather be a king in heaven than a servant on earth, Satan was sadly mistaken, because there are no kings in hell. No kings in hell. It says in the last part of verse 10 that he is thrown into the lake of fire and tormented day and night forever and ever. He will hardly be in a place to torment someone else. He who strutted about the earth trying to form his own kingdom will now discover that he is limited to the parameters of hell, the lake of fire, the place of torment. Is there literal fire in hell? We don't know that, of course, but if it is figurative, it is something that is still distressing, something that still torments. Remember that people will still have their same desires. They will be given indestructible bodies, but they will not be righteous bodies. They will be sinful bodies. And so here people will continue to crave that which they will never have. Remember in Hades, which is to be distinguished from hell, Here it says Hades is thrown into the lake of fire. That's why in a previous message when I spoke on Hades, I think the message was titled The Descent into Gloom, I stressed the fact that no one is in hell today. Hades is to be distinct from that. But here Hades is thrown into the lake of fire. When it says the sea gave up the dead which were in it, that's a reference to the bodies of people who drowned centuries ago. God is going to resurrect them, and their spirits will be joined. Those are the spirits of those who are in Hades, so that they will be whole people, but the same people they were here on earth. Imagine an alcoholic craving for a drop of alcohol, and it's denied him. Imagine those who have cravings and sinful desires that they so abundantly nourished here on earth, and they crave these desires, and there is no satisfaction. That would be a kind of burning, would it not be? A kind of burning, a kind of fire that lasts forever? As for Satan himself, I like what Milton says about him. He said, Satan speaking says, "Which way I fly is hell. I myself am hell." He is going to be here tormented for his own wickedness, for his own deceit, for his own rebellion. And he will have in his mind the memories of when he was a cheerleader in the ages gone by, worshiping God. And now, as someone has said, he will never be able to sing again. He will only be able to howl. Yes, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. Satan will never be able to sing again. He will only be able to howl. And when you and I take the time to try to find out why it is that he rebelled, whether we are looking at Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapter 28, these chapters talk about his rebellion. And the bottom line is, he said, "I will set my throne above the heavens. I will be like the Most High." If you ask the question, why is it that Satan fell? The answer, quite simply, is because of rebellion. He thought that he could take the place of God. And when he comes to you and me, as he did in the Garden of Eden to Eve, and say, "You can be like God," he doesn't mean that we can be like God in the sense of having omnipotence and omnipresence and so forth. No, 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 no. What he means is that we can be our own ruler, just as God is his own ruler. Now listen to me carefully. Satan rebelled, and a drop of that rebellion has fallen on every human heart. You and I basically are born as rebels. And when we see people go astray, selfishly cleaving to the wrong things, doing their own thing, that in a sense is a reenactment of the very thing that the devil himself has done. And what is the answer to self-will and rebellion? Well, the answer, my friend, is to bow humbly and to accept our place at the foot of the cross, acknowledging our need, acknowledging our rebellion, and submitting to God. Dearly beloved, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Let's not be like the devil in our rebellion, but rather submit to the Almighty and walk with him in truth.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Erwin Lutzer has brought part two of Can Modern Man Believe in Hell? The sixth in his seven-part series, 1 Minute After You Die. On tomorrow's Running to Win, you'll hear an illustration of how long eternity is that you'll never forget. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church. 1 Minute After You Die can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3, or as a full-length book. For information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. For a great adventure, you can join Dr. Lutzer in the steps of Luther and the Reformers this June in Europe. For information, go to our website at runningtowin.org or call 1-888-771-8717. Don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Make it a point to join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.